Thank you, Annie. I heard about you plenty. I heard you dug him out of a hole. Heard you gave him somewhere to go. Heard you taught him how to love with his whole heart. Love him anyway, but I'm just writing you to say that I appreciate the things that you did. Now I'm happy as a little kid. You really helped me loosen the lid off the jar. Somebody I could weather any kind of terrible storm with. A lot of it I know he was born with, but I believe that you gave him more of it. His mama told me when he left you he was lonely, and I'm sure it had to be hard on you. I'm sure your love was beautiful too, but I'm grateful that the morning is new.
Gillette Johnson performing for a virtual Roots Down session on WVTF from her new album, It's a Beautiful Day and I Think I Love You, Annie. Gillette Johnson joining us now. Tell me, is there a through line in this album? That song there, Annie, is thanking your partner's ex for getting him ready for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, I don't mean it in a catty way. I wrote it really from a genuine place. I'm lucky enough to be partnered with someone who's really wonderful and who wasn't shy about speaking really highly of the people that have been in his life from the beginning. So he kind of set a precedent of like just a level of respect for past partners that really made a big impact on me, and I honestly am grateful for Annie because I have an intimate view into how much a person can grow because of serious relationships. So I happen to know that she's a really awesome woman and really like stands up for what she believes in, and I, you know, my life is better because of her.
Wow, that's an open and vulnerable place from which to come.
Well, I don't really know how to do it otherwise.
Well, that's quite obvious in the songs found on this album. Now, as I understand it, you started songwriting preschool, correct?
I did start writing at a very, very young age, like kind of probably while I learned to talk. And I think a lot of kids do that. Like I watch my niece do that a lot. She walks around, she's 3 now, and she just like walks around making up stuff all the time and just is totally unselfconscious about what comes out of her mouth. And it's usually something with a tune to it. And she's always performing. And that was me. And at some point when I was about 8, I had been taking piano lessons and it clicked for me that other people did the stuff that I just like to do. Like people were writing songs and they were putting voice and an instrument together and creating this like puzzle. And so it was at about 8 years old that I started calling it songwriting and like trying to finish songs and play them for people.
oh, to regain that innocence of childhood. Well, your parents were encouraging you in music to the point that when you were very young, they allowed you to go out and perform in public at a local restaurant in a New York suburb.
I know. It's a funny thing to look back on. It's pretty wild. I was playing at this jazz restaurant, like 10 minutes from our house, for hours, just playing all original material. I started doing it when I was like 13, and I don't know why people wanted to be there, because it was like, you know, listening to anyone kind of in a restaurant on piano, vigorously playing the piano, playing hours of original material while you're trying to have a relaxing meal is not something I have a lot of tolerance for. So I'm grateful that people stuck around and let me come back.
And you played the Bitter End in New York City.
Oh, I loved the Bitter End. That was my, like, that was my first kind of venue home. Really, that was the place where people knew who I was and were excited when I came through the door. And if I was playing a show, you know, I was totally like wrapped in nurturing love and warmth. And if I wasn't playing a show and I was just walking by, everybody would be like, hey, come inside. Like, you don't have to pay for a ticket. Like, I got really close with Kenny, who owned the venue, who has since passed away. It's been a couple of years, I think, since he passed. Yeah. I loved that place.
And you made your way to Nashville. Now, when you moved to Nashville, is it true that as a welcoming gift, if you're moving into Nashville to break into music, you are assigned a co-writer?
That's good. I think you're right about that. You know, it's funny. I have not ever released a song under my name that I've co-written. I have co-written, and I'm starting to get into a place where I'm enjoying getting into rooms with artist friends of mine who I just like being around, and we don't necessarily know if we're gonna write a song, but it's more like just bouncing. Sorry, I have cat hair like floating around my nose. It's more like just bouncing ideas off of each other, and it's an interesting place to be in right now because I'm feeling myself open up a little bit, but also I can feel this, like, okay, this is still how I do stuff, and maybe there's a way to kind of do both. Like, maybe there's a way to maintain the integrity of my process and not be so siloed off into my own world. Like, I just was hanging out with my friend Parker Millsap yesterday, who works kind of the way that I do. He's very, like, he has a vision, and, like, he kind of forces himself to get out of his comfort zone and write with people, but it's not really what he prefers, and it's not where his songs really come from. But he and I actually successfully wrote a song together when we first met that made his record 2 records ago. But anyway, yeah, it's people like him that I'm like, okay, let's be a little more open-minded.
not an easy thing to do. Working in a creative medium, as they say. Talking with Gillette Johnson, her new album, It's a Beautiful Day and I Love You. You had an EP out before you got your first full-length album. How did that come about, and how has it been navigating the music industry?
Oh, there's a lot there. Well, the EP was always going to be just a lead-up to the record. I was making my record, and I was at a record label that, you know, at the time it was like part of the process of putting out a record was putting out an EP first. It was like a business decision. I didn't make the EP on its own and then say, okay, let's make a record. So I really don't have experience making EPs. I have a hard time not making full records. And that kind of happened with this last record. I came in thinking, okay, I'm gonna record 3 songs. And then my producer, the producer of It's a Beautiful Day and I Love You, and I ended up just tracking 10 songs with my band, and it just happened in 3 days, and we're like, well, I guess we made a record. And I'm just curious to see if that's just gonna be what it always is, because I just am someone that I love to write songs, and I get excited about recording them, so I kind of can't help myself. But to answer your second question, navigating the music industry has been one of the great learning experiences of my life. It's, you know, it is my school. I spent not as much time in traditional school as people that I know. Like, I didn't spend really much time in high school and very little time in college. And I continue to learn just an encyclopedia's worth of knowledge being in this industry, because it always changes. And, you know, there are a lot of delicate lines that you have to kind of walk and simultaneously try to maintain the integrity of what you do and the love for what you do. And I think that's kind of the biggest joy and challenge, is continuing to come back to yourself and say, like, okay, I know all this stuff about how this machine works, I think, or I know some of it. And then I'm going to try to block it all out and just go back to making music because I love it, and try not to attach too much to all the other stuff. Because really, I think that the business and I think art and commerce are at odds with each other at the heart of, you know, those two things. So yeah, it's holding a lot of opposites together at the same time.
Well, I think we need to hear another song from you. You're going to perform a song from your album, All I Ever See in You Is Me, produced by Grammy winner Dave Cobb. The song is Bunny. It should be an award-winning song for your use of the word nascence.
I knew you were going to say nascence.
But not only that, for the rhyme Madonna and Anaconda.
Well, you can't set out to do that kind of stuff. It just has to happen. You know, I just do what feels right. That's there's really no calculus behind it other than feeling.
Well, let's hear some of that feeling now from the album All I Ever See in You Is Me. Bunny, Gillette Johnson performing for a virtual Roots Down session on WVTF.
Sign me away everything I own, wrap it up in plastic and take it from my home. Give it to the government, give it to the church. Whenever they're done with it, feed it to the birds. Sign me away, write it in pen, get it laminated and it in cement, hang it in the lobby just above a rubber tree, the official copy of a factory of me. When the world is over and the robot army comes filing down the mountain with their supersonic guns, I'll be free. 'Cause you can have my body, but you can't have me. Somebody had got it in my head, I was gonna be the biggest star they ever met. I was a Madonna in the nascence of her prime, like an anaconda slowly wrapping round the prize, ripe for the feast, eyes on the kill, hungry, very hungry for the rabbit blood to spill. Beady little eyes are burning holes in my back, everyone's a voyeur here but no one will react. When guess there's a paper with your name on it somewhere, giving you a piece of what someone might be someday. But you don't believe in anybody anyway. When the world is over and the robot army comes fighting down the mountain with their supersonic guns, I'll be free, floating on a sunbeam, lost at sea. You can have my body, but you can't have me.
You're listening to Studio A on WVTF.